Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Another big weekend, the final weekend of September. We've made the turn into autumn, and it's time to stock up at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, they have the best selection across the board. Soft drinks, snacks, they roast their peanuts fresh every day. And, of course, the world-famous pickle bar. I love the barrel pickles. It's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And, of course, we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. And we now bring in Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Tony, welcome. It is great to have you with us.
Steve, how are you?
Doing great. Let's talk about the Pirates, first of all. In the playoffs, we know at minimum they have the Giants and a one-gamer, but the door is still open to winning the division. So discuss this final weekend and how the Pirates might handle it, because if you can avoid the one game, that's great.
Yeah, no question. You know, they could have a series of one-game playoffs. They it's conceivable they could have a tiebreaker on Tuesday in St. Louis with the Cardinals, and then move on either to San Francisco or to Pittsburgh to play to play the wild card game. So the good thing is there are going to be extra games, or at least one extra game. They certainly know that much, and so that makes, even though these are some tough decisions, that does make them a little bit easier, knowing that that there are playoffs awaiting. So Vance Worley is scheduled to start today. Francisco Liriano is scheduled to go on Saturday, and Garrett Cole on Sunday. Now, if you're in a one-gamer, I think the Pirates have made it pretty clear that Liriano is their guy. You know, this is the guy that they consider to be their ace, and he's pitched like that. Heck, he hasn't given up a run in the last 28 innings. But, you know, the fact that that Pittsburgh won last night puts them a game out of the division race. So Clint Hurdle does have some decisions to make. He said before the game last night, we are sticking with our rotation unless something changes. So and then, you know, you have to just wonder what exactly has changed, or how much do the Pirates you know, how much are they willing to put on the table to win the division? In my opinion, it should be a lot. You'd much rather have a best of five than a best of one, clearly. I think what makes their decision a little bit easier, Steve, is that the difference from Liriano to Cole to Edinson Volquez, the way he's been pitching of late, pretty much the whole season, is minimal. The Steelers don't, I keep saying the Steelers, I'm used to talking about the Steelers, not the Pirates, in the fall. I guess that's why. I don't know that they have a one-game ace like the Giants do in Bumgarner, or like the Dodgers obviously do in Kershaw. That's the downside. But the upside is, again, not much of a difference between 1, 2, and 3. So Worley is still scheduled to pitch today. If they lose today, maybe their decisions change. If they end up winning and the Cardinals, lose, all of a sudden they're tied, then Liriano probably does take the mound tomorrow. So I think it's a very, very fluid situation right now. As things stand, Volquez is scheduled to pitch the wild card game. I think they'd be okay with that, given how he's pitched of late.
I think tonight's the night. If they don't close the gap tonight, then you kind of roll it a little bit tomorrow. But that's between you and me. All right, now, now you get to how they played offensively. To me, this is the biggest difference in this club. They have been able to find multiple options offensively. Can you talk about the stretch run of Russell Martin and what that's meant?
Well, Steve, he's hitting, 50-plus points above his major league average. You know, his average has risen a little bit because he's had such a good season. It's a guy who hasn't hit over 250 since his third year in the league. He hit 211 his last year with the Yankees. He hit 226 last year with the Pirates, and they were thrilled with him. He's pushing 300 right now. He's been absolutely fantastic. The offense that he's given them is completely unexpected. You know, they expected some power. He did hit in the clutch last year, but he is one of the league leaders in on-base percentage. He's been their best clutch hitter. And he's a guy that's very, very hard to take him out of the lineup now with the way he's hitting. He's hit all over the lineup. He runs the bases very, very well. And we all know what he does with the pitching staff. So all this offensive stuff is really gravy, but it's been absolutely necessary given the fact that Pedro Alvarez really hasn't helped this team at all. Certainly not at all in the second half of the season. And there still is a bit of a black hole offensively at first base with Mike Davis and Gabby Sanchez over there. So what Martin has given them, again, he's almost 50 points above his career average, and you just can't replace that. If that happens with anybody, that really is going to give any team a huge, huge boost that you don't expect.
Right, no question. What about St. Louis? Just a quick look. Now, they are playing... They had, Arizona before, right? Are they playing Arizona this weekend?
I believe they're in Arizona now, actually, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Did they have the Cubs just most recently?
I think so.
Okay.
So, I mean, that doesn't exactly give you a lot of confidence.
Right. That doesn't give you confidence. And, again, the Cardinals in September, frankly, doesn't give you much confidence. They don't give much back in the month of September. It kind of seems to me that they may have had their, quote-unquote crack, if you will, and that was losing 2 of 3. The fact of the matter is the Pirates were continuing to play great baseball, and even though their offense fell off before last night, they got great pitching, and they were able to make up ground that they probably even themselves didn't think they were going to make up against St. Louis. So, to me, the Cardinals going out west after having just lost 2 of 3 with the division title on the line, history just suggests that they don't lose these games.
They're teasing everybody right now. We have Bill Hillgrove on. We talked to Bill about the Steelers. That performance last week, were you taken aback by how good it was? I mean, it really was good.
It really was. There's no question about that. And, yes, I was taken aback. I really had chalked that one up to a probable loss. And I was, frankly, looking at it from the standpoint of, any defensive improvement is going to be a pretty positive takeaway from this game. Well, we saw a significant amount of defensive improvement. It's the best game that they played defensively in a long, long time. I would say, possibly even over a year, maybe even longer than that. And it all started up front. The defensive line was dominant. Carolina had injuries. They had a ton of injuries, and they got more in that game. Their skill guys were banged up. Their quarterback was banged up. So that probably did contribute to it a little bit. But at the same time, when you play that well, when your front three plays that well, you're going to win a lot of games, especially with that defense. And that did happen at a cost. At a major cost. They lost 3 starters. Two of whom were just starting, probably played their best games. Young guys, when you lose Jarvis Jones and Ryan Shazier, and after you see them play so well together on the same page, that's going to be a shame, and that's going to be difficult for the Steelers to replace that, certainly at least right away. And you have to wonder as well, even if those guys do get back, Steve, are they going to be able to come back at that same level, or is there going to be an amount of rust there? It would seem reasonable to suggest there's going to be some rust even when they come back, and that's a ways away.
But Most gets in there. Spence is a great story. He gets in there, of course. But everybody's focusing on James Harrison. I'm surprised he didn't sign Mel Blount, too. But Motes and Spence are a couple of guys that are actually the first options, and Harrison is a filler, really.
Yeah, no, there's no question. Motes is a guy that can play inside and outside. He was excellent. He's got really good speed. I don't see James Harrison, moving above him at any time. If that does happen, that's a major issue for the Steelers. And Sean Spence, boy, what a tremendous story. Looked like he wasn't going to play football again. And he's gone from being a great story to being a starter. The story is now behind him. He's a starter, and he's going to be for the next 2 months at least. And they were very, very high on him 3 years ago when he came out of Miami. A smaller guy, a guy that has a pretty good amount of speed, although his game has changed certainly with his knee injury. But you have to take your hat off to him for coming back from what he came back from.
Yeah, no question about that. And now, offensively, we've talked about Le'Veon Bell. People ask, okay, why do you sign a LeGarrette Blount? Is that the ultimate closer when you have the lead to have that kind of running back?
Yeah, I think it absolutely is. I mean, this is a guy, when he gets to the second level, you can see what he does to safeties and so forth. But when the line is playing like that, he's going to get to the second level more often than not. So I think, I think that was your Exhibit A, why you signed Blount. It's a shame that these guys caused their own problems with the off-field decisions that they made, and it really did cast a shadow over, you know, the talent that they both have and how hard Levy and Bell worked in the offseason to shed weight and become the player that he is. He really took things seriously. He was very, very dedicated, and again, it's all his fault and all Blunt's fault as well, but those guys can bring it, and they certainly showed you what they can do. And, you know, Blunt, again, that playoff game last year in, you know, against the Colts for, you know, for the Patriots was probably also Exhibit A of what they thought Blunt could bring to this team, and he did this time.
Tony, as always, thanks. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Bob Sarah and I come back in a moment. Kevin's on the road right now to Montoursville. In fact, he should be there within about 10 minutes, which means he'll have 2 full hours to get ready for the pregame show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Every price on every new Kia has been reduced
and retagged
to the lowest prices of the year. Fall for a new Kia at Sunbury Motors Kia with 0% APR financing.
Yes, zero.
For up to 60 months on all remaining 2014 Optima and Optima Hybrid. The iconic 2014 Kia Soul starts at an incredible $14,769. Sunbury Motors Kia has 2014 Rio's clearance price starting at $14,951. The 5-star safety rated 2015 Forte LX as low as $16,865. And 2015 Serenos starting at $22,456. Remember, all new Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty. So hurry in to Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip at Hummel's Wharf
or at sunburymotors.com
and fall for your new Kia today.
Tax and tax extra. Must qualify. Specialty incentives apply. Special financing to well-qualified customers through KMF.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Well, much to our chagrin, Kevin was actually still in the building at the end. Bob, I feel like we missed a golden commentary opportunity that would have drawn the audience in for months.
I think we had the chance. Kevin was just waiting around, mulling in his mind his opening statement. He was trying to memorize what you had given him earlier.
Well, he's now in his car.
Muttering.
He's now off and rolling to Montoursville. By the way, the autograph booth in Montoursville will be set up between 5:45 and 6:15 this evening if you'd like to meet Kevin in person.
It's right next to the pierogi stand.
Ironically, an excellent spot.
Yes. And Sarah's with us.
Hi, Sarah.
Hello. Good Friday to everyone.
Good Friday to you, as a matter of fact.
Well, thank you.
All right, great to have you with us. And boy, your Orioles, while playing the foil last night for Derek Jeter, have had a marvelous, marvelous season. They are a threat to win it.
I know. You can imagine, I'm very excited. And while I lament a lot of the things about the Ravens so far, I feel great about the Orioles.
Yes, the Orioles, except for the Chris Davis saga, which is an odd one, and he was not having a good year. But you know what? You look at what they've done. Cleveland, let's see. You've got Oakland and Kansas City. That game will be taking place on Tuesday in the wild card. And then the Orioles, in all likelihood, get the Detroit Tigers to start their best of five series. And the Orioles will have home field, which Kevin thinks you should not have home field. It's bad to have home field. All right. You know, I think it's also bad to circle a fogged-in airport too, but that's okay. That's how that shapes up there. Then the National League's a mess right now. It'd be the Giants at Pittsburgh, but the Pirates are a game back in the division. But if things were to go today, then the Giants Pirates winner would then take on the Washington Nationals, who are the number one seed, and the Cardinals would take on the Dodgers. The Los Angeles Dodgers, who are probably the favorite to win it. Yeah, I would think they're the favorite to win it. 5-3 right now. Europe is up on the United States in the Ryder Cup. Only a half point picked up by the United States this afternoon. Lots of college football, all right? Coming up tonight, Fresno State's at New Mexico on ESPN2, and a game that Bob and I both tried to get tickets to, but were stunningly denied. Middle Tennessee State will be at Old Dominion.
Gotta love that Murfreesboro, Tennessee team, Middle Tennessee. They have those electric blue uniforms, and that's about all I know about them.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Penn State Northwestern tomorrow at noon. Other noon games tomorrow, Wyoming at Michigan State, Tennessee at Georgia, South Florida at Wisconsin, Texas El Paso at Kansas State. Iowa will be at Purdue, TCU at SMU, Tulane at Rutgers. No Paul James, done for the rest of the year, unfortunately, because of a torn ACL. Vanderbilt will be at Kentucky, 3:30 games tomorrow. Florida State at NC State, Texas A&M and Arkansas at Jerry World in Arlington. Minnesota's at Michigan for the Little Brown Jug at 3:30. Western Kentucky at Navy and Wake Forest at Louisville, 4 o'clock games. Louisiana Tech at Auburn, Stanford at Washington, Temple at UConn, Texas at Kansas, Colorado at Cal. 6 o'clock game on BTN, Cincinnati at Ohio State. That is going to be much, much closer than people realize. Ohio State may be a 17-point favorite. I think that's a fourth-quarter game. 7 o'clock games, Missouri at South Carolina. Missouri trying to bounce back from that loss to Indiana. Boise State will be at Air Force, North Carolina at Clemson. 7:30 games include Memphis at Ole Miss, New Mexico State at LSU, and Duke at Miami. The 8 o'clock games, the primetime games, will include Baylor at Iowa State, Notre Dame against Syracuse at Giant Stadium at the Meadowlands, Texas, or MetLife Stadium, I guess now. Texas State at Tulsa and Washington State at Utah. 9 o'clock game is Illinois at Nebraska. And the 10:30 games, this should be a really good one to watch. Oregon State at USC. Okay, Oregon State, USC. Oregon State's undefeated. USC's favored by 9. And Nevada will be at San Jose State. So that is your college football wrap for the weekend right there on TV.
Steve, which game in the Big Ten is the best one tomorrow? Is it one that could be nearby?
Well, this will be one of the better games tomorrow in the Big Ten. I think Illinois-Nebraska will tell me something, but it's a non-conference game, but I think Cincinnati-Ohio State at 6. I think Cincinnati-Ohio State at 6 is going to be one heck of a football game. Cincinnati's not a bad team. I know they had to play the game in Columbus, but the big thing about Ohio State that if I were concerned as a Buckeye fan, it would be my offensive line. The offensive line was dominant last year. Yeah. 4 guys graduated.
And Virginia Tech really exploited those vulnerabilities in a somewhat of, I would say it have to be an upset, but they really exploited it. They sacked the Ohio State quarterback, 7 times or something like that?
Yeah. And they just they played cover zero all night. They played man-to-man on the edge. That's all they did. Nothing complicated.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's a very basic, simple high school defense.
Yeah, that's all Bud Foster did. He said, look, I took my 2 corners. They can match up on your 2 wideouts, and I can unleash the other 9 guys. Okay. And that's all she wrote, and Virginia Tech won it. Now, Ohio State since bounced back. They did what they were expected to do. They beat Kent State. But I just have a feeling this Cincinnati game is going to be a much closer football game than people realize. And, of course, here we are into, week 5 now. Penn State gets a bye week next week. I'll be frank with you. I think that the bye week comes at a great time for Penn State.
With all the momentum, assuming they win tomorrow, with all the momentum of a 5-game winning streak, a week off?
Yeah, here's the reason why. Because they had to go to Ireland.
Right.
They had to cram to get make sure they had the system down. Then they had to go to Ireland, play the game, travel back from Ireland, immediately play right away, then go right back out and play a road game the week after that, then play 2 home games. I think they need a week to re-gear up and then head into the next part of the schedule.
You know,
the second bye week I can do without. The second bye week doesn't help them at all, in my opinion, unless they have somebody hurt.
Yeah, because right now it looks like the injury report is very minimal. We know there's bangs and bumps and bruises. Every team has those, but there's nobody that's lost out of the lineup, essentially. Is there, because of an injury in a season, in a game in the season?
Well, just the guys that everybody knows about, Ben Klein and
Adam
Bredeman.
Yeah, but they were preseason. I mean,
right.
Banged up. I don't think.
But since the season started, no. They're fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's where they are. You know, they've been able to, for the most part, stay relatively healthy. And now we'll find out what they have.
I think the
Pirates. You go ahead.
I think the intriguing matchup in college football might be that Missouri at South Carolina game.
Yeah, it's an Eastern Division game in the SEC, and Missouri won it last year, and now we'll have to see. You know, the 2-3-1 teams at this point, that should be pretty good. And so one thing, you know, people talk about the SEC network and about ESPN running it. I really don't care who runs it.
Nah.
I'm just glad that there are more games on. I mean, that's the big part to me, more games. Because you know me, I don't watch. I will watch College Game Day. Now that I will concede I will watch. I'll watch College Game Day. But I don't watch any of these other pregame shows. I could care less what's on the SEC network pregame show. But if it's a game I want to watch, I'm glad they have it.
And last night, Oklahoma State, a big winner over Texas Tech, and UCLA in a 63-point offensive barrage, won big as well.
Yeah, Hundley did play last night. He played well when they beat Arizona State. So here we are, finally getting to meet a conference play, and October's on the horizon.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Well, it's Friday, and that means it's a trip to Brewers Outlet. It's Brewers Outlet Day. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, snacks. They roast their peanuts every day, soft drinks, and, of course, the great pickle bar. Love the barrel pickles. Stock up now. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sudbury, the beverage supermarket. And, of course, we're in the Sudbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sudbury. Sudbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf, Steve Jones, Bob Buhner, Sarah Bartlett alongside Kevin Herr, currently in a balloon flying to Montoursville.
Going north in his dirigible about 20 miles per hour, he'll get there in about the next 25 minutes, just in time to spend an hour working on his opening 30 seconds.
There's like 2.5 hours of game after that.
I know. He's not prepared for that, but that opening, he wants to be compelling, Steve. Hey, I have a subject to bring up with you about the Penn State Northwestern game, if you don't mind. It is this. We talked on the show earlier this year about the unionization efforts that were underway at Northwestern's football team. And, of course, I did get a huge amount of national news and coverage. I don't believe the results of that vote, which actually occurred, have been made public yet. But at one point, the coach, Pat Fitzgerald, took a stand against the unionization. And now let's move it up to September of 2014. The Wildcats have not gone off to the best start this year, had some difficult times, and some national sports writers are attributing that to the fact that the Northwestern coach, Fitzgerald, did take a stand against unionization. I don't see the connection. I don't see, you know, the cause and effect. But some people do.
I agree with you, but that's to me, that's a cause of thinking too much. Because if you go deeper within all this, now let's start with a couple of things. Why don't we know the result of the vote yet? What happened was that Northwestern, the university, appealed it to the National Labor Relations Board in Washington, which is yet to make a ruling on it. and they will not release the official vote until the appeal is heard and ruled upon. That's why we don't know the vote yet. Next, Pat Fitzgerald did take an impassioned plea against unionization. He was allowed to finally talk to his team, and he did so within the rules that are set up for unionization. And, Bob, my understanding is, through people I trust, is that the vote was 4-1 against. And they had 75 players voting, so it's in the neighborhood of 60-0 to 15, which means if they're voting 60-15 against, they saw things the coach's way.
Exactly.
To me, if that's the case, then that is an absolutely moot point. I think people are looking for reasons, and I have pinpointed a reason why Northwestern has struggled, and it goes back to a game a year ago against Ohio State. It was an emotional game, a highly competitive game. ESPN Game Day was there. It was a huge deal. They were playing Ohio State in prime time. And the game was a pretty good game for a long period of time. And then in the fourth quarter, remember I talked about the Ohio State offensive line this year being shaky? Last year it was a veteran offensive line with four senior starters and a senior bull, a senior power back in Carlos Hyde. And in the fourth quarter, that offensive line and Carlos Hyde pounded the living daylights out of Northwestern. I mean, pounded them and pounded them and pounded them to the point where I think that demoralized them. And after that, they were not the same football team after that game, in my opinion. And I think that, above all, has jump-started them to where they are now. Losing Christian Jones to a knee injury in the preseason was a huge loss. He caught 57 passes last year. Losing Venrick Mark, who was suspended for a violation of team rules, and then said, the heck with this, and transferred out to West Texas A&M, you then lost your two critical offensive cogs that you were building your season around in July, and you lost both of them. Then Tony Jones, the other wideout, got hurt. So now you don't have Mark, you don't have Christian Jones. Now, they'll probably have Tony Jones tomorrow, but they won't have Colin Ellis, the middle linebacker, tomorrow. He's been ruled out of the game. So Anthony Walker is going to have to start at middle linebacker. So I think the pounding they took against Ohio State in the fourth quarter last year was demoralizing. I think it set them back. I think they had a long-term hangover from it because they had invested so much emotional capital into that game. They were coming off a bowl win. They were feeling great about the program, the direction. And Ohio State in the fourth quarter took them and ground them to a halt. And ground that game out. And I think after that, they weren't the same. The unionization vote, sure, it's a focal point. People have talked about it. But again, my understanding is that it's in the neighborhood of 60-15 against, a 4-1 against margin, which happens to be the same stance that Pat Fitzgerald took. Well, obviously, 80% of the team, if that information is correct, felt the same way about unionization as the coach did. Thus, it's a non-issue.
And, you know, I sometimes, you know, you say, well, it rained, and then the next day the sun came up, so that every day it rains, the sun will come up again. You know, yeah, that's right, but the two aren't necessarily related at all. But yet you put them together and juxtapose facts and try and give it a causal relationship. I didn't think it held water. I'm like you. It's the players on the field. It's the coaching staff coaching, making the right calls. It's the injuries that determine what goes on and not some scribbling on a piece of paper, yes or no, that determines what's going to happen to your football team.
I think with them, Bob, I think Northwestern football has been a lot like Penn State basketball.
Yes.
In that the margin of error, and this is something I've lived with, this will be my 33rd season coming up, starting in November. Penn State basketball has had a very thin margin of error. And when things have fallen into place with the right five starters and a little bit of help here and there, they've been able to win an NIT, they've been able to get to the NCAA tournament like they did in 9 and 11 respectively. But once those players move on, that thin line comes back where suddenly you're on the opposite side of that line. Northwestern has been in a thin line for, you know, ever since, you know, Penn State's been in this conference, they've been in a thin line. To their credit, what they did in 94 and especially in 95 with Gary Barnett and Darnell Autry and that team, and then consistently getting to some bowl games has been great. Pat Fitzgerald, after Randy Walker passed away, did a great job of keeping the program together. He's brought them to bowl games. They finally broke through and won that Gator Bowl game. Finally did that. That was a huge step forward for them. But there's still that thin line. When they lose a Dan Persa, they lose a Kane Coulter. Now they're at the stage where, you know, where the two guys on offense they could ill afford to lose the most were Venrick Mark and Christian Jones. Well, guess what? Neither one is playing right now. Venrick Mark's playing for West Texas A&M, and Christian Jones is unfortunately rehabbing a knee injury. Those are the two guys they could ill afford to lose. If I look at their defense, they have five guys over there that they can ill afford to lose. One of them is Colin Ellis, their middle linebacker, and he's not going to play in tomorrow's game. And so I think that the problem that Northwestern has above all is that Pat Fitzgerald has to deal with a very thin margin of error. And because he has to deal with a very thin margin of error, when they skirt over that line and lose a guy or lose a couple of guys, suddenly their ability to come back because of the lack of depth in the program hurts them. Now, the two freshman running backs, I've watched them on tape. You know, they're going to be pretty good, I think. You know, but they're also freshmen. They're young. But I think they're going to be pretty good. Their run defense is very good, by the way. They're only giving up 3 yards a carry on rush defense. But Penn State should be able to throw the ball against these guys. And if they can keep Adenabo on the outside, number seven, Adenabo they're going to have to control. This guy has got a pretty good motor there, and he's, you know, they list him as a backup. He's going to play a lot. Number seven, Adenabo.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a guy that they've got to look at.
Is that somebody whose name you think you might be calling out on occasion tomorrow?
Well, until Dave Ennett taught me how to say it, I wasn't going to be calling it all
exactly.
Out at all.
Good old number seven.
What a play! That kid's something else.
Let me just change gears also while we have Sarah here this afternoon, because Sarah is a Shippensburg University graduate, as is my wife, so they share being Raiders. And tomorrow at Bloomsburg University, the Huskies play host to Shippensburg in a PSAC really important game. Now, here's an interesting statistic, Steve and Sarah. Bloomsburg has played 31 football games since the start of the 2012 season. They have won an amazing 27 of 31. They have three losses to one team and one loss by 2 points to Westchester in the NCAA playoffs. That other team, Shippensburg Raiders. So it's going to be very interesting tomorrow for the Huskies and the Raiders, because that's, and you know, if anybody's got Bloomsburg's number, and obviously very few do, it's got to be Shippensburg.
Yeah, no question. And see, that's where history does come in. Even though each year takes on its own, I always laugh when I hear, you know, they've won, you know, they're 22-2 against them lifetime. They've dominated the series, and then you look at the number and it says they haven't played since 1999. You're like, okay, what do these players care? Yeah. They don't care about that stuff.
No. But, you know,
the media might, but not them.
In the PSAC, there is that continuity. And the other thing about a conference like the PSAC is that a lot of these players have played against each other in high schools or been on all-star teams together, because it's largely Pennsylvania lineups at Shippensburg, Bloomsburg, et cetera.
Sure.
So it's a different kind of there's a continuity there. But my wife and I had a big meeting at our house, and I have a daughter who's also a Shippensburg grad. My daughter and my wife will be at Shippensburg. I, fearing bad things happening at Bloomsburg, will be at Penn State.
There you go. And Sarah's going to be lighting candles for the Orioles.
Maybe a little bit.
And cheering for the Raiders at Bloomsburg.
Yes, I'll be cheering for the Raiders, cheering for Shippensburg, cheering for the O's, cheering for Penn State. And the Ravens on Sunday.
Yes. Derek Jeter, his story. We'll talk about that to wrap up the thing, everything on the week in a moment. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Every price on every new Kia has been reduced
and retagged
to the lowest prices of the year. Fall for a new Kia at Sunbury Motors Kia with 0% APR financing.
Yes, zero.
For up to 60 months on all remaining 2014 Optima and Optima Hybrid. The iconic 2014 Kia Soul starts at an incredible $14,769. Sunbury Motors Kia has 2014 Rio's clearance price starting at $14,951. The 5-star safety rated 2015 Forte LX as low as $16,865. And 2015 Serenos starting at $22,456. Remember, all new Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty. So hurry in to Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf.
Or at sunburymotors.com.
And fall for your new Kia today.
Texas tax extra. Must qualify. Specialty incentives apply. Special financing to well-qualified customers through KMF.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Boy, we had some fun weeks on this show the last month. Wow. A lot of guests. We've had a lot of guests. We've run one after another through this show, from Merrill Reese to Bill Hillgrove to, you know, Dave Ennett was on this week, the play-by-play voice of Northwestern, to, I mean, on and on we go with the people we've had on. I mean, I think we've had something to the tune of, what, 15 guests in the last 8 shows or something like that? It's been kind of wild.
It's been averaging, man, about 2 really good ones per day. And the Billy Hillgrove and Merle Reese ones were outstanding, obviously.
Yeah. So today's show, by the way, brought to you by our great friends Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. It's the weekend, so stock up. Imports, domestics, microbrews, soft drinks. They roast their peanuts every day, the snacks, and, of course, the pickle bar. All at our great friends, Corey and the crew. What a job they do, and they'll go the extra mile for you. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Of course, here in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, it's 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. Derek Jeter. We're now at a place, I think, in sports where, say, for example, we were doing this show back in the 60s. Bob, Kevin, and I, Sarah, the four of us could have a debate about, you know, do you think Willie Mays is as great as Babe Ruth? All right. What do you think about Ted Williams as a hitter versus Pete Rose as a hitter, or Stan Musial? You know, a quarterback. You know, is Johnny Unitas the greatest quarterback ever, or do you like Bart Starr? And, you know, in basketball, do you like Bill Russell? Do you like Will Chamberlain? Those were the arguments in the 60s. What's happened now in the last 50 years, 5-0, is that the pool of players has grown exponentially because we have more players, more teams, more everything now, and much more history to go through. So that when you look at, you know, a great player, Derek Jeter, is he the greatest Yankee ever? Is he the greatest shortstop ever? Is he the... Okay, it doesn't matter. Okay? That's an opinion as to whether you think he is or he isn't. But there's no challenging that Derek Jeter is in the pool of great players in the history of the game. Now, that pool does grow larger as the years go on because there are more people in the game. This is season, what, 111 or 112 for the Yankees. The New York Giants have patches that say 90. It's their 90th season of New York Giant football. Even the teams that played in the AFL, the old AFL, the Bills, the Patriots, the Raiders, the Dallas Texans / Kansas City Chiefs, the Broncos, the Chargers, whatever, okay? They're all the Jets. They're all playing their, right now, their 55th season of football. 55. Okay? I remember when the AFL was a fledgling league that the NFL thought it could dominate. Right? Leagues have come and gone. The WHA's gone. The ABA's gone. Now you get the NBA, the NHL. Okay? The pool of great players grows. So that when you look over the period of time and the body of work, to sit there and identify a greatest is a personal opinion, and there's no definitive answer. You know, we all have our opinion as to the person that we would pick, right, to be there. But it's now, to me, become a pool of great players. I would prefer Bobby Orr over any player in the NHL, but that's my personal preference. You may say Gretzky. You might say Bobby Clark. You might say Mario Lemieux. That's okay. Your opinion is just as good as mine because we're both just expressing an opinion. But what is beyond opinion is that Clark or Gretzky and Lemieux, they are absolutely in the pool of the great players of all time. And that's where Derek Jeter is, in the pool of the great players of all time. Sarah's a huge Orioles fan. In that pool would include Frank Robinson. It would include Brooks Robinson. It would include Cal Ripken Jr., okay? It would include Eddie Murray. Just to name a few, Jim Palmer, some of the great Orioles of all time. They're in that pool, too. Okay, they're in the pool. And that's where we are. There's so much of a body of work now in the deep history of sports that now it's a pool of great players and not just a select few.
And that's what makes us talking about it so much fun, because when you went down that list of hockey players, it's obvious to me that although you might believe Bobby Orr is the greatest, I can tell you, in my opinion, that it has to be Mario Lemieux. And we can go back and forth, and neither one of us is wrong, and neither one of us is absolutely right. We're just right in our own opinion, which is
exactly
wonderful.
For you to express that Mario Lemieux you think is the greatest player is... I accept that in a heartbeat, okay? And guess what? I'd take Mario Lemieux on my team anytime.
And I understand for all the reasons you do, and you would understand all the reasons I would look at Mario the same way. And it's just one of those things. I guess in everybody's mind, Steve, when you identify players, sometimes it goes because it's someone who values you treasure yourself, or whose attributes you
sure,
or who you as a kid just had him in your idols of sports list.
Right. The only thing that I find unacceptable is, like, say for example, someone says Jerome Bettis is the best. now at that point, I've got an
We will never disabuse that man who's on his way to Montoursville of that opinion.
That opinion is just more of us talking about Kevin.
It is.
Because Jerome Bettis actually was a legitimately great player.
No question
He's in the pool of great players. I hope by the Veterans Committee they do get him in.
Sure.
He deserves it.
And Steve, you've got a busy Saturday ahead.
I'm looking forward to it. Excited. 95th homecoming here at Penn State. We're on tomorrow at 10:30. Join Lauren Crispell, Jack Hamm, who, by the way, is on the cover of the homecoming program, Jeff Tarman, Roger Corey, and myself for the game. We're looking forward to it.